Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Welcome back. Thank you to Texas Citizens Bank for bringing us out here. Awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. I'm sitting with the general manager of your Houston Astros, your world champion Houston Astros, Jeff Luhnow. Welcome in. How are you?
Thanks. I'm great. This weather's been perfect since we've been out here. Everybody's got a great attitude down there. We're having our first full team workout today, and games start on Friday. So let's go. Let's get it on.
Everybody else had the whole offseason off, right? And here's you. Where I got to get Garrett Cole. I got to get Smith, Rondon. I got to do stuff. So, okay. Did you take a break? Were you able to sit back to just go to the beach and just say, wow, we did it?
Not really. And that's not what you're supposed to do when you have a short offseason and you want to be the first team to repeat in 20 years. I will admit, I took my wife to Mexico for 4 nights. We had a great time down there. I was working a little bit, but that's the nature of this job. You know, I told the guys this morning, 2018 is not a time for us to take a victory lap. It's a brand new race. Everybody's starting from the start line, and there's 29 other teams that would love nothing more than to knock us down. So we've got to get off to a fast start. Everybody's got to get better, and that includes me and includes what we did this offseason. We wanted this team in 2018 to be better than the team in 2017, and I think by bringing in Garrett Cole, by signing Hector Rondon, by signing Joe Smith, by doing some of the other moves that we made, we've given ourselves a chance to have one of the best teams I've seen in baseball in the last 20 years.
Okay, but is there anything – what was the coolest thing, if I think, since the World Series, the coolest thing that happened to you being a champ?
Bregman and I took the trophy to the Dynamo playoff game, their last game of the season, their last home game of the season. And it was really fun. We were there with some Rockets that were part of the championship team. We were there with some Dynamo players that were part of their championship team. So it was a celebration of champions, being out there in front of a pretty riled up crowd. And as Bregman and I are walking out there holding the trophy, the sprinklers went off. This is at halftime of the soccer game. And I thought, is this their way of doing a water cannon salute like we did at the airport when we came back? But no, it was a misfire. So we both got soaked holding the trophy. It was fun. It was just fun to be out there celebrating with people and realize, I mean, the parade, obviously I realized it, but you go around town and you don't know what an impact we had on this town until you start meeting and talking to the people. And not just because of Harvey. I mean, there's been a lot of people that have waited 56 years to get a championship. And now every Houston Astro fan can be proud of the fact that we did win the World Series.
Jeff Luhnow with us here, Astros general manager of the world champions. How about the general manager and owners meetings? Were the other guys petty? Were they giving you the business?
You know, one thing you realize when you're in this is my 15th spring training, and I've been in this industry now for a while. It's hard to win, and most people, whether you're an executive or a player or a coach, you go through your entire career and you don't win. And the number of people that actually have a ring is not as many as you would think, given the fact that a ring is given out every year. There were a lot of congratulations and a lot of respect for our organization, how we did it, what we did. That was great. I'm sure behind the scenes, they're talking about ways to bring us down and things they can do to disrupt us. But that's, you know, we know we have a target on our back this year. That's part of winning.
You say that though, but it's in the three majors, baseball has more champions than, because it's the Patriots every year.
Yeah.
It's LeBron every year or Golden State. We've got the Cubs. We've got the Red Sox. We've got the Giants. We've got the Astros.
Yeah.
We got different guys. Is there a reason for that?
Well, I think that we have because Commissioner Selig and followed by Commissioner Manfred have really prioritized competitive balance in everything that we do because we want all 30 markets to feel like they've got a chance to win. And since the Yankees repeated as three-time champions at the beginning of the century and the last century, we've had 27 teams go to the playoffs. That's everybody except three teams, which means that every market does have a chance to win, and that's a great thing for baseball. But, you know, the Giants won three times. The Cardinals have won twice. The Red Sox have won four times. So, you know, the Rangers have yet to win a championship. There's a lot of teams that haven't had a chance to experience what we did last year. It's hard. It's even harder to repeat, and that's why the bar is so high, but that's what we're motivated to do.
Yeah, we're happy about the Rangers not winning anything, but that's another story. And everybody says, well, you don't have a salary cap. Oh, they're better. Competitive balance is better because they got a salary cap. No salary cap in baseball, yet we have that fact, 27 teams going to the playoffs.
Well, the way the system is set up, you get draft picks, you get international bonus money. There's some revenue sharing to help the smaller market teams. So it really is an attempt to give markets like Tampa, give markets like Pittsburgh and other small markets a chance to compete. And they do. And then, you know, obviously execution matters. A city like St. Louis is not a big city, but they've got such an avid baseball following and their revenues are pretty good and they're able to stay competitive year after year.
Jeff Luhnow here on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Texas Citizens Bank. The number one issue for fans this offseason was how in the world are they going to be able to keep Altuve, Springer, Correa, Keuchel. Did you hear it too?
Sure.
Because and whenever we talk about the Astros, how are they going to do it?
Yeah.
Are you just concerned with, okay, we got to get Garrett Cole. Let's talk to Miami. I know you can't tamper. We got to do this. Are you thinking long-term too?
Of course. But we're thinking right now. I mean, we do have all those guys. They were here last year, and they're here for 2018. And right now, our goal is to win in 2018. And that's our primary goal. Where the chips will fall in 2019 when players start to become free agents, and really every year after that, we're going to have significant players becoming free agents. You know, we're going to have to wait and see. I mean, when I say wait and see, it doesn't mean we're not working on it. We're not trying to do things. We're not analyzing it. But I'm not going to talk about those things in front of the media. Our negotiations are all behind the scenes. And we have a strategy. We're going to try and implement it. And our goal is to keep as many of those core players as possible, recognizing the fact that as players get close to free agency, they have a lot of incentive to test it out. And we're seeing that this year. You know, the Cubs had Cy Young Award winner and Jake Arrieta, and he's still not signed. And the market is a little different this year than it was last year. We don't know what it's going to be like next year. There's risk in waiting, but there's also potentially some upside in waiting. And would I love to have all those guys here through their entire career? Absolutely. Is that going to happen? No chance. But are we going to pick and choose? And are we going to? It takes two sides to get a deal done. Not only do we want to keep them, but they're going to have to want to be here, and there has to be some concessions on both sides. You know, we're gonna give it our best shot.
Garrett Cole, you get Verlander. You value guys who are under team control?
Absolutely.
Is that true?
No question. No. Yeah. Yeah, you know, a couple years ago, we traded for Scott Kazmir, and at the time, it was the right deal for us because we were bringing in a top-of-the-rotation guy to help us try and get to the playoffs in 15 and help us win a couple series in 15. It didn't quite work out the way we wanted to. I think Kazmir was pitcher of the month in July, but sort of tailed off a little bit in August and September and wasn't really the playoff caliber pitcher that we were hoping we were going to get. And then he became a free agent. And so we didn't have any residual benefit. And the players that we traded are still good players out in other systems. So, learned a little bit of a lesson from that. There's a role for a rental. And you know, last year we brought in Liriano because we thought we'd need some big outs. And he did get some big outs for us in the postseason. But, you got to recognize that when you bring in a rental, that person's going to be gone at the end of the year, whereas getting a Justin Verlander, bringing in a Garrett Cole, and having the additional years of control means that, you know, we're not going to have to worry about our rotation for a couple of years.
Yeah, no, that looks really, really nice. But there's some questions of that. Okay, it's too simplistic, but you value pitchers who pitch and they swing and miss, and you value hitters who make contact. Are you not – what was the discussion about Garrett Cole's home run totals?
Well, he did have largest ever in his career last year, and it's almost an anomaly. So we looked into it. We had our video guys chart every pitch that he threw last year and look at all of the 30 however many home runs he gave up. And a couple things stood out to us. One is that there is a certain thing – there's a certain amount of luck involved sometimes. You make a good pitch, and it's just driven to the right place in the right ballpark, and it goes out. And they do think that a chunk of those home runs were due to that. I think there's also his repertoire, his pitch selection, what the catcher was calling. So we try and take a look at whether we think this was the new normal or was this an anomaly. And our conclusion after doing that research was that it was an anomaly. He had, you know, every year is a different roll of dice for players. They have different outcomes, some based on luck, some based on what decisions they make. And we think Gerrit Cole in our system is going to bring that home run total back down to where it's been for his career. And his stuff certainly is good enough to be a top of the rotation guy.
And the X factor is Brent Strom.
No question. Brent Strom, Doug White, our pitching staff, our guys that help with the video and help these guys give a lot of feedback. I know Garrett's already met with everybody, and he's excited about some of the information he's been seeing and anxious to go out and give it a go in spring training games. So I think we're going to see – I think Gerrit Cole's going to have a career year this year.
A lot of talk about Nick Foles with the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, you owe that guy. You need to trade him. He can't sit. Now, a lot of talk with you about Colin McHugh.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's a starter. Does he fit in the bullpen? But you want to get rid of him because you need more starters.
Right.
That's a difficult thing right there, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, Colin McHugh is under control for another year after this. So, next year, if we lose a couple starters, he fits right in. This year, right now, if most of the people pencil out our five, he's not in the five, but he's either six or seven. And we know on a typical year we use 9 to 11 starters throughout the course of the season. So, you know, the last thing that we want to do is move McHugh to another team and then realize late March that, oh boy, we kind of need him back, or May or June. And while Colin has never pitched in the bullpen before, his stuff certainly should play well in the bullpen. And we've seen Davinsky, Feliz, Peacock, a lot of guys, Musgrove, that were developed as starters in our system, go into our bullpen and actually give us really quality innings. So he's a great guy to have in our on our roster. And, I think he's a guy that's going to help us this year, regardless of the role.
Jeff Luno with us here on ESPN 97.5. So much talk about Forrest Whitley. There's another guy
sure. That,
you know, and he probably is itching and will itch pretty soon. My partner was asking earlier, who else are you really looking forward to? There's other young guys besides Whitley.
Well, I think, you know, we tend to overlook the guys that made it to the big leagues last year, and especially the young guys with some upside. And we're sort of like, okay, well, we already know about them. But we don't know about Francis Martes.
No.
Francis Martes is a top prospect with a cannon for an arm, 97, good breaking stuff. And last year was a tremendous learning experience for him. This kid is super young. He gets to the big leagues on a team that's going to win the division. And he had some dominant outings in relief. And he gave up some runs. And I think he learned a lot. And I think seeing Francis Martes again this year, he's a guy that I think is going to be a difference maker for us one way or another this year. We got Rogelio Armenteros, the Cuban kid who dominated minor league baseball last year. You know, his stuff isn't as electric as Francis, but he's got a tremendous track record of performance, a more mature, experienced pitcher. He's got a chance to help us. And then Kyle Tucker, the young man who is in big league camp for the first time this year from here in Florida, left-handed hitting outfielder, can play all three outfield positions, hits for power, hits for average. You know, when we drafted him, he didn't hit for a lot of power his first year, but I knew he was going to hit for power eventually, and we saw it start to come last year. And, you know, this is a guy that's going to be in the middle of our lineup in a couple of years.
Yeah. Any more moves? There was so much talk about you about to make a move with another team,
mm-hmm.
and nothing has come of that since. Odds that you might make another move?
I would set the expectations low because I really think that we have a complete team here as is. And, you know, unless we have some injuries or guys don't perform the way we think they're going to, I really don't feel a need to go out and get somebody. Now, that being said, we're constantly looking at the remaining free agents. There happens to be a larger group of them this year than there has been in my entire career. So we'd be foolish not to look at it because there's some guys that are probably going to just want to land somewhere and get jobs and don't really, you know, we'd have to look at that group for sure. And we're also in constant communication with other clubs. But sometimes these reports you see on the internet, drummed up by local beat writers, I don't know where they get their information. So I'm not going to call it fake news because, you know, we're interested in every good player in baseball. But sometimes the rumors get out ahead of where the truth is.
Jeff Luno, we had Jim Crane in studio with us. And one thing, he just dropped it. Not just casually, but one of the things that you had to do was get the Astros up to date as far as, I mean, everything was done with paper as opposed to being, computerized. Are you where you want to be? And what's your blend between scout and all the numbers?
I think there is no longer separation between those two things. Our coaching staff is all fully technologically enabled. They understand what technologies are out there that are useful. They know how to interpret it. They know how to communicate that information to the players. We have a lot of millennials on our team. These are players that grew up with computers and information, and they want that stuff. So the days of scouts versus stats or computers versus experience, that's no longer a conversation that we have. Everything's integrated, and I do know that we spend a lot of time evaluating technologies, evaluating the information, trying to weed out and narrow down the things that we think are useful that we're going to use on the big leagues. So you see things in the minor leagues in our system that we're trying, and if we get some evidence that it works, we roll it up to the big leagues. But I think we're in the top five clubs in terms of use and value of that we get out of technology.
Okay, the eye in the sky that you guys have that does everything, that the spin of the ball, how fast it goes off the bat.
Right.
What's the most important thing? What's it called again? With the technology.
Well, there's different. There's a radar technology. There's camera technology. There's a bunch of different technology systems that compete with each other. But the basic facts are they're getting a movement on the ball. They know exactly what happens on the field of play.
Right.
And there's information. I think initially the advantage went to the pitchers because the pitchers could refine their grips, they could refine their delivery, they could change their repertoire and really optimize their offering. And the batters had to react to that. But I think now there's more technologies where the batters are able to balance that and figure out ways to change their swing, different ways to not swing at certain pitches. And so it's a constant ebb and flow. I think both sides have improved a lot, and defense has gotten better now that we track where the players are on the field at all time. We can tell exactly what routes they run and how quickly they get that first step. And so we're learning a ton. Players are benefiting from that information.
Okay, I'll let you go. I know you're busy here. Is there one thing that you always ask about? How's the spin come off a pitcher's hand? How's the ball come off a batter's bat?
I think that's too simplistic. What we ask is, in your repertoire for a pitcher, how do your pitches compare to the elite major league pitches of that type? So if you have a slider, it's not just about spin or swing and miss. It's how does that particular slider with its characteristics compare to the best sliders in baseball. And we try and inch our guys closer towards those best pitches. And whether it's a curveball, slider, changeup, et cetera, we're constantly nudging them in the direction. We know what the elite pitches are like. We can study Clayton Kershaw's curveball. We can study, you know, the great changeups in the game. And we know what kind of spin, what kind of trajectory they have, what kind of grips they use. And if our players are close and that's a pitch that's useful for them, we nudge them in that direction.
Is McCullers curveball one of the best in baseball?
It's one of the elite curveballs in baseball, yes.
Well, I can tell that because people miss it a lot.
Oh, yeah. No, and what he did, I don't think people really understand. I mean, we talked about it a lot, but the significance of what he did to close out the ALCS Game 7 against the Yankees, I don't think any player in the history of games ever done that, throw that many breaking balls in a row in that critical of a situation to end a game. I mean, that was... And that's because, you know what, if that's your best weapon and they can't hit it, why are you going to throw a changeup or a fastball? Just keep throwing it.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yep. Well, what he did and then what Charlie Morton did in Game 7. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Once again, we appreciate it. Thanks so much. You look good. You look skinny. You lost a lot of weight.
Spring training is also for executives. You know, I've been trying to get in shape and eat healthy, and you know, I don't want to embarrass myself in front of these guys.
Doing it. We appreciate it. Jeff Leno right here on ESPN 97.5. Great stuff. Thanks for coming up here and joining us here. That's Dell. I know we're a bit behind. I would imagine that we're
That's
just
all right. That was fun. That was a good interview, man.
Yeah. And what's his name? Rogelio?
Rogelio Armenteros.
Rogelio, you got... Raheel, that's my partner Raheel.
There you go. Yeah.
He's got a Spanish version, right?
Exactly.
A Hispanic version of Rogelio.
Yeah.
That's got to be your new favorite player.
And he's slightly more talented than I am.
Well, not slightly. probably a lot more than that.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.